everything is go Astro Boy. Astro Boy, as you fly, strange new world you will find. Adam Cell, Jet Propel, fighting monsters high in the sky. Astro Boy, there you go. Will you fight friends or foe? Cosmic Ranger, laugh at danger. Everything is go Astro Boy. Crowd will cheer you. You're a hero as you go, go, go Astro Boy.
Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey, hey.
Full Metal.
What's up?
And special guest Weeble.
Hey.
Now, Weeble, why did you gather us here today?
Because I want us to talk about a cool new anime adaptation that came out on Netflix this season called Pluto.
I am pretty pissed because this was literally 8 hours long, and I am really fucking late on this season right now.
This was really good, though. I'm glad we watched this.
Yeah, it was really good and probably anime of the season.
Better than Frieren?
I don't know. I'll have to think, but I'm just kind of pissed that, once again, I am pissed at how Netflix handles its dropping of episode. I almost want to categorize it as its own thing because I'm just tired of fucking Netflix doing that. It's just kind of annoying. So they drop basically 8 episodes. You're like, 8 episodes? That's not so bad. But the episodes are 1 hour long. No, they're not like 40 minutes or something.
They're literally an hour long. Yeah.
So it's
more like 24 episodes all at once.
Yeah, pretty much. So they drop like a 24 episode, which will normally take 2 seasons to finish, or like it will usually have like a season break, and this is annoying. So this is why I think I'll just categorize it as its own fucking thing, because I'm just sick of this.
Yeah, we'll give her an honorable mention when we do the full season review. But let's talk about Pluto.
You're not on that, like, neat life where you can just grind, like, fucking hours of anime in one day? Tisk tisk.
I fucking wish I was doing that again, because I did that two times in the past. Like, at least 2 or 3 years of my life I was needing, and it was fucking great, and this is why I have 350 hours in Hyrule Warriors on Wii U.
Goddamn, dude.
Now, because I get notifications whenever an anime like is dropped and ready to be watched. So like I think Pluto dropped, I want to say 3 in the morning, and yeah, I watched the entire thing like right then.
Man,
Jesus!
I was very excited.
3 in the morning.
Because you know time zones. I think it was like it would have been like 12 Japan time. I don't know, but that's when I got it, and yeah, I watched it. It was like that was like my highlight of the season. That was what I was looking forward to the most.
Oh yeah, it was Weeble that first told me about this because you see when you check something like AnyChart, a lot of people don't go all the way down because you get your normal shows, you get your shorts, you get your continuing anime, but then you get a big block of movies which nobody gives a fuck because nobody is going to be able to see this in like 6 months to a year or something like that. So nobody gives a fuck about the movie block, but then there's the OVA block, and also everyone doesn't care about the OVA block because a lot of the time they don't get translated. Or they, you have to wait until someone just fucking bothers. But that's also where the ONA are, the original net animation, which means shit that gets put directly onto streaming services and stuff like Netflix. So a lot of people just fucking miss these because they don't know they're out.
Yeah, that's kind of how I discovered it. I was just kind of looking for stuff to watch this season, and you know, I usually take the effort to scroll down, and I noticed that just the poster looked interesting, and then when I read more about it, like the plot and that it was an adaptation, I was like, oh, okay, sure, I'll give it a shot.
So what is it an adaptation of?
It's an adaptation of one story within Astro Boy. For some reason, the guy who made Monster, he really liked it, and he wanted to remake it in his own image. So the
Monster mangaka?
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, that explains a lot. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, this reminds me a lot of Monster.
Yeah, because Epsilon looks exactly like Johann Liebert.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
No, yeah, like, whenever I was looking up, like, before it aired, Pluto aired, I looked up, like, you know, forums and just what people were saying, and people were just like, oh my god, is it gonna be as good as, like, Monster, 20th Century Boys, like, other manga that guy did as well, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Because, yeah, I have no idea of his, like, bibliography, but I know I've heard of Monster, and like I know like it's they're very like well known and real and good manga.
Yeah, and wasn't the anime is also really well known. The anime was animated by who?
Let me check. It's Madhouse.
Oh,
that's why. That is why it's well received. It's fucking Madhouse. So they probably did it again.
Yeah, the anime of Monster has really good visuals, even though it doesn't really need it. Most of it's people standing around talking. There are occasional moments of action. But it does justice to Urasawa's unique art style.
Actually, you know, now that you say that, I'm pretty sure the studio that did Pluto, the guy behind it, he was also a former person at Madhouse. I think you founded Madhouse too? I'd have to look it up real quick.
The Annie List says the director was Toshio Kawaguchi. I don't know him.
It's Studio M2. I have not seen anything by Studio M2. They have not done a lot of things.
So, like, pretty much Pluto's, like, the only thing they've done.
Of note, yeah. But it did look good, so I'll keep an eye on this studio in the future.
Apparently they were founded in 2016, so they've been around for a minute. They just haven't done much.
Yeah, maybe it's a side project of someone who works full-time somewhere else. I don't know.
I got the information. So it's from Wikipedia of Masao Maruyama, film producer. He is a Japanese anime producer and an anime entrepreneur, the co-founder of Madhouse, as well as founder of MAPPA and Studio M2.
Oh, okay.
So that's Masao Maruyama. I'll put that in the show notes.
I like that term. Like you said, anime entrepreneur.
That's what was written.
He pronounces things funny.
Because I can't say it in English. I can say it in French, but not in English. Entrepreneur, but not in English.
Yeah, I caught you saying Detroit instead of Detroit once.
Oh God, I remember that. It actually sounds better if you just say it in French than try to say it in English. But it sounds about the
Detroit.
Same.
Detroit.
Not Detroit.
Detroit become human.
No.
Anyway, let's talk about Pluto itself, shall we?
Sure.
So who would like to read the description?
Do it, Dad. You have the best words for it.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but I want to give other people a chance once in a while.
No, you do.
Look, you have the radio voice. We sound like a bunch of mongoloids. Just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
A murder occurs in an orderly world where robots are unable to kill humans. The elect The robotic Europol investigator Gesicht takes the case, but the mystery deepens when he finds no trace of a human at the scene of the crime. As he pursues the truth, Gesicht uncovers the most evil manifestation of hate that history has ever seen, one that is bent on bringing destruction to the world.
All right, so Gesicht is pronounced in Japanese Geji Ito.
Yeah, but German has a lot of consonants, so I can't really rely on like Asian pronunciations.
Yeah. Japanese pronunciation's terrible for German.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. Like, since they, you know, had that whole friendship thing going on in the 40s.
I mean, they pronounce a lot of the words weird. Like, you when it, like, you know, the Hercules, I think they said Hercules or something like that. Like, Heracles.
Well,
in Greek, it was Heracles. I think Hercules is the Roman version of the name.
Yeah, exactly.
And Pluto, they say, like, more Pluto than...
Yeah, I could tell someone coached them on how to pronounce the letter L. So, the way I describe this is a modern retelling of an old Astro Boy story about a detective robot investigating the death of a famous hero. The original writer is Osamu Tezuka, peace be upon him.
Also, remember that Atom is Astro Boy. That's his original Japanese name.
Yes, Astro Boy is a Gaijin lie that we Westerners have tricked our populace into believing. His real name is Atom, and I think the original manga was called like Tetsuon Atom, like Mighty Atom or Iron Atom, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know where the word or how you get Astro Boy out of that.
Well, it's like, you know, that retro sci-fi type deal, right? So it's like...
Yeah, plus the original.
It's kind of fitting. It really fits the era, I think.
Like, yeah, I mean, I don't hate it, but yeah.
Yeah, the original manga is from the 60s, I believe. So it was extremely rare to translate anything from Japan into English. So just be grateful for what we got, is what I'm saying.
Occasionally, the Western name is actually better, like Mega Man. That's way cooler than, what's his Japanese name?
Rockman.
Yeah, which it's Rockman.
So now you understand that it's supposed to be Rock and his sister Role.
Yeah, I get it.
That's stupid, though.
Yeah, and Battle Angel Alita is a way better name than Gundam. Speaking of things with a lot of German words in them, the martial art she practices is German, and every technique has a German name. Anyway, Pluto.
So,
should we go into deep spoilers or what?
I mean, I tried to speedrun the episodes like just now, just to kind of go piece by piece. But if you want to talk about it like as a whole,
can we perhaps talk about it just a little without spoiler?
Sure.
Like some kind of at least quick review. So that someone who hasn't seen it
would be inspired to watch it. Okay.
You will want to see it, and then they will maybe stop listening to the podcast, and then maybe come back later. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. If, like, I guess the most concise way I'd summarize Pluto is a sci-fi mystery thriller. It follows a detective and it brings up a lot of questions about like the role robots play in a human's world and how they can cohabitate and mix, and just like the consequences of making robots smarter and more similar to humans.
I would say it's like Ghost in the Shell meets Monster is a quick way to summarize it to anyone who is familiar with those franchises.
I also heard it's like Blade Runner.
A little bit. Blade Runner is a little more cyberpunk. This is much more like futuristic.
Yeah, it's probably inspired by Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics too. You know, robots may not harm a human. Robots must obey orders from humans. I think the
Yeah.
Yeah, this seems closer to, well, probably what the original was, retro-futuristic utopia kind of thing, without being like too futuristic about it. It didn't look like the Jetson.
Right, where the
Right.
future is a disco.
Yeah.
They kind of toned this down a little bit, but.
But it serves the purpose well because at its heart, this is a detective story. There's something going around destroying the world's most advanced robots, and our protagonist, who is not Astro Boy, tries to figure it out.
Yeah, and our protagonist,
Gazicht.
Gidget,
Gesundheit.
he's one of those most advanced robots.
Yeah, so even if he wasn't a detective, he'd want to figure out what's going on. The character page says in the original manga, Gesicht's name was Gerhardt, and in the 1980s anime, his name was Zeron.
Yeah, that makes sense that they changed that. They gave him like a legit German name.
Yeah, just to make things harder for everyone involved who has to pronounce it.
I watched it. I actually watched the show dubbed. They actually had a very competent dub, and they just pronounced it Gzikt.
Did they call him Adam?
Yeah, they just call him Adam.
Cool. I learned. Finally. Actually, okay, so have any of y'all like actually like read and or like know about the original source, like the original arc this was based off?
Nope, I have
No.
seen perhaps like two episodes of the Color Astro Boy anime in French, and that's about it. I played a
Yeah,
little bit of.
I used to catch reruns on like Boomerang or something when I was a kid. That's the most I've seen of Astro Boy.
Yeah,
Game
same
Boy,
here.
the
I
Game
played
Boy
the Game Boy
Advance game.
Advance, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's made by
Um, Treasure.
No, I was not familiar with the original story.
um, me neither, but I decided to do some research because I wanted to see like how much of it was like purely original and how much of it like took a lot from the original. Some of it I could like I already could tell like, oh yeah, no, this is definitely like from Tezuka and like Astro Boy, and the other parts I was like, okay, I don't know, this is probably his own imaginings. But the original arc was called The Greatest Robot of All Time, or Evolve, something like that. And it was a lot more like, what you'd expect, a lot more sillier, a lot more like, I don't want to use this word, but like kid friendly, like, just very like dumbed down. So like there wasn't like the whole Persian War thing was not in there at all. Like that one is original to Pluto. Astro.
Should we go into spoilers?
Oh. I guess.
Yeah, let's switch to spoiler now.
All
So
right.
you've been warned.
Spoiler notice from this point on.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I was going to say the whole Persian War is important to the backstory of the villain.
Well, yeah.
So I wonder how that was handled in the original. I should go read it.
No, there's a lot of things. So like one of the bigger ones is that Gisicht only lasted for about 8 pages. He was not the main character.
No, that's bullshit. He's the best character.
No, that was I think that was
Darn.
pretty much like almost his. Okay, by the way, also they have adapted the arcs into the anime, like into different animes throughout as well. I'm sorry if the information's a bit wrong, but I want to say this is more from the like actual manga itself and not like different retellings from like Astro Boy animes and stuff. But yeah, like he didn't last too long. Like Astro was pretty much the main character through and through. So a lot of the extra characters, like the extra side villains, like the cockroach dude or what is the other one? Like, you know, Goji, all that stuff. Again, that was all added in.
Yeah, the butler robot.
No, all the other robots were in the manga as well, but it was more like a tournament arc. So, like, the entire thing was more like a tournament arc. Basically, what it was, like, this evil sultan dude wanted to make the best robot ever, the strongest robot ever, and he did, and so, to prove it, he told Pluto to kill all the best robots in the world, and all those best robots were, you know, the ones we know today, and
Urasawa just saw this story had more potential.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
There was, like, so a lot of the same themes were kind of there, but just, like, not taken, like, broadly. So I think one of the examples was, like, Pluto kind of, he kind of felt sorry as he was killing some of these ones, because it was like, oh, these guys are kind of cool and stuff, but, you know, I was made to be the strongest and kill, so I gotta kill you, stuff like that. And, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of, like, I don't know, moral emotional tension, but, you know, yeah, not really. As far as I'm aware, the ending is, like, almost verbatim how it is in Pluto, like, and you can probably see, like, yeah, you can see that going on. So yeah, and it's kind of weird seeing that translated to, like, a full-on, like, this deep fucking psychological, like, thriller, and, like, you know, Gesicht, and having just a whole arc. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I think the designs of the robots are great. They all look different, and even the human-looking ones all have unique faces. And I love how the robot Pluto itself has these super long horns that it can extend and use as a weapon. That was really neat.
I just found something really neat. You know the Blackjack cameo that you don't actually fully see him?
Yeah, you just see this rogue doctor in a black coat who appears and does experimental surgeries on people. But yeah, that's got to be Blackjack.
He's voiced by the same voice actor that did the previous Blackjack anime.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. That's cool. another fun fact that I really liked. It's just kind of a bit of a trivia. So as some of y'all may know, Tezuka was a big Disney fan, and one of the things he got from that was in Astro Boy's design, his two little hair points, like, no matter where he's facing, you always see those two points, like, visible on camera. And that's from, like, Mickey Mouse. Like, no matter where he turns, he always has those two round ears perfectly in view. You know, it's iconic.
Goku's hair has the same thing.
Yeah, even in this Pluto, like, you know, despite having a, like, more, you know, realistic anatomy and art style, the hair still does that. Like, and it's more noticeable when you see him turn around, and, like, no matter what, you still see those. And I thought that was really cool. Like, yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, this was expertly crafted. There are a lot of little touches that just show how much they loved the source material. They loved animation in general.
It looked actually really gorgeous. Like you get some pretty this is a more this is drawn like a seinen, which it is apparently according to the analyst tag. This looks like a seinen. This is the story of a seinen, and it is drawn like it. So that means more details on the characters, and it looks gorgeous throughout. Like there is not a single problem with the animation.
Yeah, this
is really good, surprisingly.
Yeah, no, it looks great. Some of the, like, the water effects, it was, like, very weird, like, kind of experimental, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah, Urasawa in general is, he's a unique Japanese artist because he gives each character a different face, and it's usually a realistic human face, not an anime cartoon face. So that brings some humanity to the characters, I would say.
Just like a seinen social, because for those who are not such familiar, there is a shonen, which is demographic for boy, and seinen is demographic for adult men. So yeah, usually seinen are more serious, and Yeah.
Yeah, this is a big boy anime. This isn't your fucking grandkids anime. This is for men.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of decapitations and naked chicks like you would expect from something labeled seinen.
It just basically means it's for adult, but not like necessarily porno, violent, or whatever.
It means serious storylines with minimal bullshit.
It means it's marketed usually towards adults.
I mean, people die. I mean, genocide is like a theme of this show, but like you largely see robots die.
Yeah, you could show this to an 8-year-old and not traumatize them.
I mean, that's one of the things I really like. Pluto was that it kind of, because like you said, most of like the gore and violence is towards robots, right? And to us, it just looks like, you know, fucking scrap junk getting scrapped and like toys getting broken. But you know, to them, it's like fucking like the Holocaust plus 9/11 met Hiroshima, just fucking like traumatizing. And you know, they, and as robots, they remember that shit vividly as if they were playing it. So it's interesting. I like how they play with like how robots perceive emotion and stuff.
Yeah, there's a big emphasis on robots trying to become more like humans, which means even the old obsolete robots can have emotions somehow. It's never really explained, but it also doesn't need to be. You're just supposed to feel it.
It's not like they just get emotion. It's more like, I guess, so in this world, it's that, you know, robots can feel emotions. It's just the more advanced they are, the better they are at like expressing it and like acting upon it.
The robots are machines that try to have a complete understanding of what humans are and why they act, and sometimes they imitate it.
Yeah, they say robot as like a general term, but each one has like different levels to their AI. Like some are severely advanced to the point where you can't even tell the difference. But others are just, they're straight up robots. They're just like cleaning bots. You wouldn't even like look twice. Like, yeah, that's just a fucking robot.
Yeah, you can tell the old models look like Rosie the robot from the Jetsons, and
yeah,
the more recent ones look almost exactly like humans. They even
more give like androids.
Yeah, so I noticed they give Gasik male pattern baldness to make him look more human. Those small physical imperfections that make them fit in, I guess.
They mentioned that they believe that if they mimic humans more, then like, you know, it helps like enhance their AI, you know, kind of like how you feed AI pictures and shit. So like the more they do that, the more it like they make an algorithm for human being human, I guess. One of my favorite scenes are like, you know, when you have this, I don't know, like uncanniness. So there's this scene, I think it was episode 5. This was a flashback to the like Robo Kid kidnappings, right, where they get murdered, and you know, one Robo couple, which is a more advanced one, they look like they look human, and they see this like broken robot on the table, and the police is like, "Oh, this is your son," and you know, they just start crying, you know, like they're sad, and then in another room is another Robo couple with their son, but you can tell they're a lot more outdated compared to these ones, and you know, they just kind of hear the crying and it's like, oh, like this is what humans are supposed to do, this is what humans do in these situations. And they're like, oh, I can understand that. And you know, they're just saying how like, oh, we love, you know, they're in a kind of like, I guess, monotone robotic way, they say about their talk about how excited they were to have a son and stuff, and then now it's taken from them. And like, you know, it sounds like they're reading a Wikipedia, but you can like, they're feeling emotion, they are feeling grief.
Yeah, it makes sense for robots to act that way, and as the robots become more advanced in story, they become more like more able to duplicate humans or imitate humans, I would say.
Oh, another one of my favorite things, that wasn't part of that, but I like that there's canonically robo hate speech laws. Like, you know, when Adolf and his wife are like at a restaurant. They see a robot at another table, and you know, she's just like, wow, you know, they say robots can think just like humans and even act like them too. I mean, I can't really see that happening. And you know, he's like, oh, hold, honey, you can't say that out loud. That'd be against like RoboCode this 15 dash.
That was really funny about the show is like robot equality happened like 8 years ago. It's like a new thing. Like they just stopped Jim Crow from their era.
Yeah. His name is Adolf and he's full of racial hatred. Does this remind you of anything?
Yeah. Little on the nose.
Okay. Yeah. No. And then
I was about to mention that.
And then he's part of the fucking Robo KKK, and they do the salute, and they got the fucking crucified robot in there. Like, wow, real fun.
Went a little bit hard on it, but yeah, I got the message, guys.
Yeah. War is bad. Racism bad. Nuclear weapons bad.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's, if you want to summarize Pluto, it literally is just hashtag end hate. We need a hashtag end hate, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, honestly.
I mean, I stand with hate.
It did that, but it didn't do it in a cringy way that a lot of other shows do. Like, it didn't feel like it was just trying to do, like, it wasn't just trying to get, like, Twitter points. It was actually a show about, yeah, you know, nuclear holocaust, not a fun time.
Yeah, this could have easily turned into some whiny, preachy shit lib posturing, but it's not that. It's this honest plea that we should stop treating each other like shit.
Well, I mean, one of the things I got from it too is that, like, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of stories about how, like, you know, AI turning against us or you know, robots going rogue. And, it kind of made an interesting point that because we are making robots like us, that's probably what's going to happen is because, you know, once we teach a robot to hate and, like, you know, to have these emotions and stuff, that's probably when it will start going against us. And that, you know, there's a kind of irony in that.
What made me laugh, however, was Brow, you know, the robot in the prison.
Yeah.
He's like Hannibal Lecter in that one movie.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, they come to see him and talk about criminal.
Yeah, they try to get into the mind of a robot criminal by talking to one of the few that have actually managed to kill people.
Yeah,
I found that fascinating, actually. It's like, yeah, no, that would be the case, wouldn't it?
It was probably the inspiration, actually. There's a big chance.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I bet. Yeah, he was kind of interesting, too, because he was just kind of like this, I don't know, he was just kind of this entity. Because you're just like, okay, what are we going to, like, do with him? I was surprised no one, like, killed him before, but because he's supposed to be, like, the first robot, so I guess they want to keep him alive to study him more. Yeah, I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, they just keep his body destroyed so he can't escape. He can just sit there and talk.
Yeah, I love how much shit talking he does too. Every time someone comes to see him, it's like, oh, I've been waiting for this, and then just talks mad shit. It's great.
Exactly. It's exactly just like in the movie, like Hannibal Lecter.
I mean, you have to imagine that's literally his only source of entertainment is fucking with people.
Yeah.
I did some research. Apparently, so people believe that, because, you know, Brow was never in the original, but they believe he was partly, like, based, inspired by another Astro Boy character. I think it's called the Blue Knight, who in the Astro Boy manga, he hated humans, because I think, like, he had a robot sister and, like, a human married her, and, I think he abused... The human abused his sister and killed her, and so he like declared total human death and wanted to make a robo paradise with no humans. And I think he eventually got killed with his own spear. So people think that's a reference to him.
Oh yeah, that made a lot of sense.
Because I think Brow is German for blue. That's part of why.
Yeah, and there's an Astro Boy wiki, and it It has a section on Pluto for this character. It says, Blue Knight is heavily reimagined as a creepy, broken-down robot named Brow 1589.
Well, they never explain why. The story of, like, the murder, what happened, and why. I think that's kind of interesting, because, you know, at the end, it doesn't really matter. It was just
you don't explain everything in a story. That's good storytelling, actually.
Especially a mystery.
It is a mystery at its core. You don't want to know everything.
Yeah. Got room for interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it a secret reference, or is it like a deeper meaning, or was it just something the author put in because he thought it was cool? Who knows?
Yeah, speculating on it is the fun part. You don't need everything explained to you.
So, did y'all have a favorite character?
Gseekt was great.
Me too, it's my choice.
Yeah, honestly, Gseekt.
I thought he was just going to be this standard spurgy character who doesn't know how to act around people, but he feels like a real person who's making a genuine effort to understand and love humans.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of conveying a character that was a robot that was human enough that you could empathize with as a human. I think they really nailed that.
Yeah, I'd feel bad about throwing him into a trash compactor. Or shooting a laser through his stomach, as the case may be.
Everything about him was pretty interesting from A to Z. You see him even grow during the story, and I liked everything about him.
Yeah, no, he's not my favorite, but like definitely his story was great. Because I was so confused with the flashbacks at first, but once you learn more about him and just kind of him, I guess, rediscovering, like, you know, hatred and you know, and all these feelings, it was kind of like, whoa. And
yeah, can we talk more about that? Because I have some complaints.
Oh, like about what specifically?
Well, I'm full of hatred, so I feel like this anime is calling me out.
You're being discriminated against?
Yeah, I just disagree with this anime's argument that all hatred is bad. Like, so what if Adam does kill his enemy? It's worth it, because you should save the world now and feel bad about it later.
Oh my god.
Am I wrong?
No, I hate this. You know, fucking every, like, nihilistic pessimist. When you're like, oh my god, look at this fucking preschool. All hate is bad. Man, you know, I just, you know, fuck that. I want to be bitter and angry to the fucking, like, no.
I understand it is possible to become consumed by your hatred and turn into a monster obsessed with revenge, because that's exactly what happens to Abula. His family died in a war, and he became a crazed monster because of it. But what if saving the Earth is on the line? Is it worth it to sacrifice your own sanity to save billions of lives?
Well, go ahead.
Especially if you're a robot.
But also, like, you know, I think, you know, part of why it's not preachy, it's not necessarily, like, saying, like, how do I say it?
It's not really condemning anyone who disagrees with it. It's just the author's opinion, and he gives a good case for it.
No, but exactly. Like, because, I mean, you could argue, like, I mean, for most of the characters, like, you know, most of some, and like the villain and most of these characters, like, they have good motivations, right? Like, you can understand why, you know, they're doing it and their motivations for doing so. And I wouldn't say, like, it's like unreasonable they did what they did. Well, some of them, but yeah, either way. But, like, you know, the point is that you know, hatred is just kind of this, like, you know, useless emotion. And, you know, you could argue that if we were more like robots, you know, like, we didn't, you know, if we thought things, like, pragmatically and less emotionally, there'd be a lot less strife, but, you know, obviously that can't happen, and, you know.
Yeah, so the message is that robots should become more like humans, and maybe humans should become a little more like robots.
Kind of. I think, where was it? I took a note. It was in, like, episode 6, because they kind of talk about this. Like, this was when Abdullah and Gesicht's professor, Professor Hoffman, I think, the one with the red hair and green glass, the one who prepares Gesicht, like, he talks to him before that, and, you know, he's, you know, Abdullah's kind of, like, pushing him, like, oh, so, you know, Gesicht's basically the perfect robot, right? You know, he can detect, like, all this shit. He's, like, basically impenetrable. And, you know, the professor's like, oh, well, you know, he's, like, while he does have, like, all these advanced systems to, you know, control and do his stuff, he still, like, has doubts and makes mistakes. And, you know, and he's like, and so Abdullah's like, oh, so, you know, that's a flaw. And he's like, well, I wouldn't say flaw. It's just what makes him him. And, you know, I think that, like, you know, because he's kind of, you know, he's capable of having emotions and having, I guess, like, moral debates and just kind of thinking for himself.
Right.
It does give him strength, but it also, you know, it's also what caused him to fucking kill that human and stuff. And, you know, Abdullah is saying, well, like, you know, I don't think a robot should kill a human. And if it does, he should be executed, you know, kind of hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, but Dr. Hoffman also respects Sigmund Freud and quotes him at one point, which is pretty gay.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I'm gonna, you know, he, like, the story isn't necessarily saying that, hey, guys, you should just stop, being angry and hateful and just, you know, fucking hold hands and shit.
But you should consider what you're doing before you act.
Yeah.
One thing that made me laugh at the very end of the show, Adam turns to the doctor and asks him, like, you know, are we ever going to live in a time where there's no hate? And he basically said, nah, probably not.
Yeah, like, not going to lie.
Oversimplifying it. That's basically the scene.
Yeah, and again, that was, like, pretty much verbatim from the actual Astro Boy manga, too. It's funny. But, like, yeah, I think there's, like, different facets to it, and it just kind of explores, like, you know, what happens. Like, you know, for Brando, for example, like, yeah, because all these robots, you know, they're kind of scarred from this war, right? And, you know, they're just kind of like, you know, what the fuck did we do? Why the fuck did we go there? And shit. But, like, they also have, you know, different outcomes of it, right? Like, you know, Brando and the North number two, you know, they use that hatred to, like, I guess, appreciate...
simple, beautiful things.
Yeah, life more. And even with Hercules, like, you know, Hercules is kind of an interesting character because, you know, he's basically the most, he's like, he was made for fighting and, you know, that's all he does. And so, you know, being in this, like, war environment and, like, the PTSD, it kind of fucks with him because he wants to fight, but at the same time, like, the grief and stuff kind of gives him, like, this compassion. And so, you know, he said after the war, he doesn't kill his robot opponents anymore, because, and I mean, I assume you could have, like, you know, in his little robot matches, he could have killed them, but he doesn't anymore because of that. And so, you know, kind of, like, you know, everyone got something out of it, but, you know, obviously, the best outcome would have been no war at all, but, you know, again, who knows?
And there's Epsilon, who has a lot of firepower, but chooses not to fight in the war. So he's somehow able to defy humans, but it's for the greater good.
He was the weirdest character, because, you know, every character kind of, I don't know, I feel like ties a little bit more into the whole, like, hatred narrative, but he was just kind of, like, out of that.
He was sort of an outlier. I didn't really understand what his motivation was for most things. It was just, I don't like violence, I'm a pacifist. It's like, okay.
I think his, well, I mean, obviously he didn't want anyone else to be killed too. So that's part of why he was, like, trying to keep Brando and Hercules from, like, killing themselves. But I think, like, with him, he was just kind of showing how, like, I guess, you know, how blind hate, you know, how blind hatred can make you. Cause, again, arguably, right, he's the most innocent robot. Like, he, not only did he not fight, but he's helping Persia, you know, he's taking the orphans and stuff.
Yeah,
but
he didn't kill Pluto when he had the chance.
Exactly.
He seems to be the with great power, great responsibility kind of character.
Yeah.
Right. And he shows the upsides and the downsides of having a lot of compassion. Like, He refuses to use his power except to protect the innocent, but he also shows mercy to people who really don't deserve it.
Yeah, like, I think it just kind of shows also that, like, because, you know, they say, like, forgiveness is, like, a two-way street. Like, you can't just, you know, you can't just be like, oh, I forgive, like, my murderer, and, like, the murderer is like, oh, yeah, whatever, I'll fucking do it again. Like, it has to be, like, a two-way thing, you know? And,
yeah, he felt like Goku forgiving Frieza a little bit. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
So, like, you know, even if there are, like, people like Epsilon who are, like, you know, pacifists and choose not to hate, you know, it's kind of meaningless if we still have, like, Plutos and all these other people out there.
Yeah, because sometimes you need to destroy something completely. Sometimes it's just the right thing to do.
Well, you know, we wouldn't have to do that if everyone just played nice.
Well,
if everyone was, like, but that's Epsilon. Never going to happen.
Yeah,
so that's sort of my main gripe with the show, is I think the creator kind of misunderstands where hate comes from. It really just comes from fear. You know, people are afraid of losing their homes, their resources, their family. So that's why they do the things that they do.
Yeah, say that.
Abula's
fear is more of just an aspect. Hatred is an aspect of fear.
Abula becomes full of hatred because he lost his family.
Yeah.
I mean, well, even, like, you know, Adolf, like, you know, I mean, because, you know, they make it a point that, like, his brother was, like, you know, a piece of shit. But, like, you know, he also had, like, valid reasons, you know, like, you know, robots were taking your jobs. And, you know, like, his dad, all he did was take a ball, right? But, you know, he fucked up. It also helped fucked up his life, and, you know, Adolf's dad later killed himself. And again, I think, like, you know, it's not just saying, like, it's not just penalizing people who do feel hatred.
Yeah, I actually really like that part of it. Like, the character that's racist is, like, that way for a reason. He isn't just some, like, dumb hick. It's like, no, he has his reasons. Like, it's not a good thing to do to be that way. It's just that there are genuine reasons why people end up that way.
Well, yeah, yeah. And
I don't agree, but I understand.
And even, you know, like, there's a funny scene, or, well, not funny, but, like, you know, a big scene where his wife is, like, talking down to him, like, you know, why did you do all this? Why did you join the Robo KKK and, you know, jeopardize us just for this stupid shit? Your brother was a piece of shit. And so what if a robot killed him? You know, it's a robot. It was probably an accident, or it was probably ordered to. And it was, you know, a robot is incapable of hatred. But then, you know, we come to find out, yes, he is capable of hatred. And he did hate his brother.
That was actually really funny. That's why I like Gazicht a lot, was because he really isn't, like, an innocent man. He's not a bad man, but he made mistakes. He's not perfect. I get kind of tired of the character that can do no wrong trope. That shit gets real lame real fast.
And that's what makes him pretty much a perfect robot. Yeah. He's not perfect.
Yeah, yeah, he's still a hero in spite of his
part
flaws.
Part of emulating humans is also emulating our flaws, of which we have many.
Exactly. Like, you know, towards the end, he chooses not to, you know, kill Pluto, and he goes against their orders, and they're like, you know, just think you're violating all these robot orders, and they're, you know, he's just kind of like, why didn't you punish me? And why didn't you, you know, why do you still want me to be a detective even though I killed someone? And once he regained all his memories.
Yeah, this anime could have used an angry police chief. That's my favorite movie trope. Yeah, Gazicht is a great guy. And I say guy because he feels like a human, not like a robot. In his gravestone, I think in episode 7, it's something written in German. I put that into Yandex Translate. And it said, Gazicht, the greatest robot of Europa. He was a policeman who died fighting for the peace of mankind.
Aw.
Nice.
I don't see robot in humans. I just see fellow people or beings.
I can recognize racial differences, but... I can recognize patterns. Yeah, I can still love people who are different from me, even if they're made of metal.
As long as he doesn't make it his old personality or anything, it's all right.
Right.
Yeah, don't be like Brow.
Gesicht is great, and okay, I don't. This might be like a dumb opinion, but personally, my favorite character was Tenma. I know he doesn't really appear that often, and he's just kind of an enigma. But I loved him. Like as soon as he came in, and just like his like the short.
He's like, what if Gendo Akari was not evil?
Yeah, I can respect that. And I watched it dubbed, and he was voiced by Keith David. So I was like, oh, and I really like him as an actor. So
oh,
like,
he's my favorite black actor. I love that guy. he was Goliath in Gargoyles.
His voice is really good, so he nailed it. I thought.
Darn, we got real actors doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Netflix.
Nolan North was also in it. He was Adolf.
Yeah, Netflix has money.
Yeah, it's weird they put a good amount of money into this show, but like I don't think a lot of people are going to watch it.
No.
It's not going to be super popular. People who do watch it are going to praise it, but most people aren't going to watch it. It's not like one of those shows. It's not high octane action. It's not like boobs and titties and butts every 5 seconds, you know what people like. It's a fascinating philosophical murder story.
Yeah, and the monster guy was perfect to adapt this. So even if I disagree with parts of Pluto's message, I still think it's perfectly executed. This is a top-tier anime.
It's amazing. It will probably be easily anime of the season.
I don't know. Free or Ren is really good, but it's not.
At least like top three. So the season is not yet over, but there's amazing things. There's amazing things currently. Dark Gathering is still impressing.
I need to get caught up with that. I only watched 3 episodes, I think.
And there's also Undead Unlock, which is it doesn't fucking stop. It has started and it has not stopped.
Yeah, and the manga is still doing interesting things years later.
So, all right. So, anything else on Pluto, or do we? Do we change the subject?
I got nothing else. You got anything, Weeble? This was your idea.
You don't have to force yourself to.
I mean, I didn't. I mean, you say it's like my idea. Like, I fucking requested it.
You did.
Okay, no, CB just like, oh, we're going to probably talk about Pluto on the podcast. You should join it. I'm like, yeah, sure, because I really liked it.
Okay. So we'll blame Mew. Mew, you need to say something extra about Pluto. Right now.
I have nothing else. I really like how they change Dr. Ochanomiju. In the original, he has a really ridiculous cartoony design with like his hair, his big nose. And I like how they made him recognizable, even when they turned him more into a human.
Yeah, he looks like a realistic human with a big nose.
Yes.
I was going to say, like, oh, right, another thing, too, that was also, like, Urasawa made, was, like, his own original interpretation, was the whole, like, simulating personalities thing. In the original, I think it was just, like, raw horsepower, so it was like, oh, man, Pluto has, like, 6 billion... horsepower, and you know Astro only has like I don't know fucking 100, and like Tenma upgraded him to like I don't know fucking 7 million, and that's how he was able to defeat Pluto. But in this one, you know the emphasis is more on like
emotions and motivations more than just numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's power level.
It's power level, basically. But yeah, I liked Tenma a lot. From what I looked at, like he is pretty similar to how he actually is in the Astro Boy manga, which is kind of interesting. Like, damn, he's like,
yeah. Was he named Tenma in the original?
Yeah,
because the protagonist of Monster is named Tenma.
Oh, that's probably a reference. Like, I think because he saves like a boy, right? Yeah, it's probably a reference. Maybe.
Which might be why the mangaka decided, you know, to do this, because it was a fan in the first place.
Makes sense.
Tenma, he like everything he said in Pluto was kind of true to the original as well. I think he like he sold Astro to the circus, and he originally made Astro because he neglected his real son Tobio, and then Tobio died, and he's like, no, I can remake him, I can build him. And so he makes Astro, and then like I love that scene too where he's eating with Astro and he calls him Tobio, and he's like, hey Tobio, did you clean your room? And you know, and Astro was like, yeah, I cleaned my room and I found this cool book and I love this dish you made. And you know, he Tenma just kind of
Like,
looks at him like,
bitch, you're a robot.
yeah, he's like, oh no, Tobio, yeah, he hated cleaning his room, he hated learning, he hated this dish. And
He hated me.
exactly, yeah, I love that. And he hated me.
Like, do you love me? I do love you, Dad. No, my real son hated me. Fuck you. It's like, all right,
That was great.
Yeah, no, I love that.
I don't know why, but then the and the wiki about Tenma that you linked, this picture and the appearance section really makes me think of one of the doctor from Mega Man. It's
I mean,
just
they
the
kind of have a
pose. Well,
similar art
yeah,
style.
Mega Man's a pretty blatant ripoff of Astro Boy.
Yeah, pro th that's probably why.
Yeah, I love the games, but yes, the whole concept was stolen directly from Astro Boy. They even have a sidekick sister.
I swear that Wily or Dr. Light has like this exact same pose or something. It just, yeah. Anyways.
But I liked, I don't know, I like the, I guess, duality of like him versus Astro, because you know Astro, he's like, you know, his thing is that he's the most emotive robot. Like he's probably the closest in terms of like actually acting like an actual robot. And you know, he really blurs the line between like is he pretending or does he really feel it? And then you have like Tenma, who's kind of like, how do I say it? Like, you know, he runs away from his like emotions and stuff. You know, he calls Astro a failure, and you know, he couldn't be there for his son, and you know, he fucking couldn't deal with his grief, so he makes this robot, and then he rejects the robot, and then now he comes back to build the robot because no, really, I actually loved him, and you know, he struggles to with his emotions, but then Astro is like, you know, he's like the perfect emotive bot, and I like kind of like that dichotomy.
Yeah, there are a lot of things to love about Pluto. This is a great series, and I'm glad we all watched it.
It was fantastic.
Best 8 hours of my life.
All right, so anything else talk about Weeble? So what have you been watching this season, maybe, if
Oh
you won't talk
boy.
about it? Because you watch a bunch of things and you didn't quite like them, right?
I mean, for starters, I watched Spy x Family season 2. It's pretty good. Like, I'm already caught up on the manga, and it's adapting that pretty well. So, you know, no real complaints. Like, I knew what I was getting into. I watched, what was it? Like the Yuki no Family something. I think that's what it was called. But it's like this house of like four brothers. Their parents are dead, and so you have this older brother. He's like 20 something, and then you have like. They get younger as it goes down. So the two middle ones are like 11 and 12, and then the youngest is like 9. And so they're trying to take care of each other, you know,
Is it
without their
from
parents.
this season?
Yes.
Oh, I'm tr trying to find what you're talking about on
Y
Annie List.
Yuzuki-san Chi no Yan Kyudai, right?
Yeah.
Also known as the Yuzuki family's four sons.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't know if y'all heard, but there was like a bit of a commotion because the subs were like really awful, like Crunchyroll subs for it.
Yeah, I
How is that
heard. Yeah.
different from any other show they do?
No, this one was especially bad. This was
I know
like beyond
they
that.
started fucking shit up real bad by just they're basically doing machine translation and
Yeah.
then slightly fixing it up, but not really doing a good job.
Yeah, no, these ones look like straight out of like Google Translate. I think it was like it was saying something like, I am flammable or something like about talking about laundry or something. I don't know. It was like very off.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just very like broken English. I watched about two episodes, like two and a half episodes. It's okay. Like it's very, wholesome, like family mush. I was kind of hoping for something with more comedy. A lot of it is just like the little runt kid, like the second youngest, he has like middle child syndrome because, he's kind of inadequate. He doesn't get as much attention as the youngest, and he hasn't, but he gets shit on because he's not quite the oldest. So he's just kind of like, wah, wah, and it was kind of boring to watch. I just kind of dropped it.
Disappointing. Anything else?
I also watched, well, I am watching, Miggy To Dali.
Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah, Stevie recommended that one to me, and I looked it up and I saw that it was done by the same mangaka as Sakamoto Desuka. So I was like, sure, I'll
Yep.
check it out.
R.I.P. Press F to pay respects.
Oh.
Yeah, she died this summer.
Oh, that's so sad. She didn't, yeah, and she could get to see her anime. I'm watching it so
Yeah,
far.
I believe she got like cancer and she basically died like a month after. It was like a late
Damn.
diagnosis or
Yeah.
something.
That
Oh.
sucks.
Yeah, you hate to see it. So I watched it. I'm caught up now. I think the last episode came out today or yesterday.
I'm not even caught up yet.
Oh, like what episode are you on? Do you know?
So what do you think about her?
Okay, like I guess, yeah, without spoilers, it's pretty interesting. Like some parts were just kind of like weird. Like I know it's supposed to be like a comedy too, so like, I get some of it's like jokey, but it kind of gets uncanny a little bit. Like you'll probably know the scene. If you're caught up, you probably know the scene I'm some of the scenes I'm talking about, but like yeah, I'm just kind of like, okay.
I've only seen three episodes. I need to get
Oh
caught
boy.
up.
Okay, get ready, get ready. Yeah,
I'm
it's gonna be
prepared for
fun.
some
Oh,
crazy shit.
you really got my interest. Now I want to watch more now.
Now like I don't even, no, not even in a fun way. I mean, just like, why? I feel uncomfortable watching this. I don't think,
Oh.
yeah.
Yeah, I hope there's no incest shit.
No, not a bit, no.
Some other kind of
I'm not
crazy
liking
shit.
this. I'm not
Not
liking
really.
this anymore.
All right, I'm gonna keep watching.
Anyway, but I mean, overall, like, the mystery was interesting, and I think, like, the characters are funny. Once I got to the third episode, I was just like, okay, I'm kind of hooked, and I'm watching it, and yeah, it's not too bad. I can like,
Yeah, that's where they joined the Boy Scouts, right?
yeah. Now that they're out of the house and interacting with like others more and stuff, like it's a lot more enjoyable, and I'm hooked. I'm hooked. I'm gonna see it to the end.
Yeah, and the real plot actually got revealed.
Yeah, pretty much. But I can definitely see like the Sakamoto, like the similarities to Sakamoto. Some of just like the bullshit they do. It's like, how can you not tell that there's a fucking kid under the table at some of these points?
Maxed out dexterity score. Nobody can see.
Oh, okay. This is just a weird thing. So it's like it's set in the 80s, right? Like late 80s, but like everything looks so like. I don't know, like fucking 1900s, like or like late 1800s, because like they live in a, I don't know if it's just because they're rich or
I
something.
think it's because the ridge, but otherwise the wallpaper style kind of matches, at least in my opinion.
I mean, I don't know, like I don't know. I'm getting like more like 40s, 50s vibes from that, but then it's also weird because then like I think one of them had like a fucking Atari or something. I just.
Yeah, but you have to take into consideration that let's just say you get a house today. The house might actually be 80 or 100 years old. that was probably the case also back then. So it's possible that the house they got was already quite a few years old. So
yeah, I mean, I get that.
That kind of makes sense.
I don't know. And even with how they dress, it's like, I don't know, it's very like old. And then you know, I'm thinking this is like Europe, but it's like in America. I mean, I don't know. Again, like, you know, it's not really.
Yeah, it contributes to the overall uneasy feeling of the whole thing.
Wait, Steve Jobs was alive during then, right?
Yeah, they mentioned Steve Jobs, but is this in America? I thought that they all had Japanese names, so that's kind of weird.
Well, okay, no, it's weird. Some of their names...
Yeah, all the names are Japanese.
Yeah, but then they say, like, shit and stuff.
They could be Japanese-American.
That is really weird. It might be one of those mix that makes no sense, but they did it exactly to make it weird.
Yeah, but then and like they live in almost like perfectly Western looking, like European looking. I don't know. Again, like whatever. It's not really important.
It's like in the games, River City Girls. Those games they take place in a fictional city that's a weird mishmash of Eastern and Western shit.
Yeah, that might exactly be the point. They did a weird mismatch to make it weird, and that's it. They doesn't have to think too hard about it.
Yeah, the weirdness is the point. Just enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, I bet you all are going to... I hope you all enjoy some of the upcoming episodes. I think it was episode 5 or 4. Yeah, it was 5. It was like 5 or 6, yeah.
I'll keep watching, as I tell you. Otherwise, so moving on. So I haven't watched the shorts yet, but I know that you really like that series, and I have not been able to talk about it in the last episode because I didn't see them. So what about the Anna Kokens short?
Oh yeah, I did see those. I saw them all. It's based on the spinoff manga, and they were pretty good. They mimic the art style pretty decently, and I'm happy with the stories they did chose to adapt. The last episode was actually a completely original thing. One of the things they do is, like, especially the artists on Twitter, they post, like, how do I say it? Okay, this is gonna sound like cringy, but like AU, so like they'll put the characters in different situations, right? And they have like social media games. So for example, like they had a thing on Twitter where they're like, oh, these characters are like, you know, Hanako is the fucking the girl from Phantom of the Opera, and Hanako is the Phantom, and like, you know, all these characters are adapted into the Phantom of the Opera characters, and you get to decide who the murderer is or something like that. And so, you know, you like a tweet or reply, and, you know, it goes out. And
reminds me of that old Batman comic from the 80s where viewers could call in and decide if Robin was going to get killed or not.
You get to decide if a child gets murdered today. Like, stuff like that. And one of them is like, was like what you saw where Nene is like this child monster, and like Hanako and his brother are like monster researchers, stuff like that. You know, just kind of weird, like bending characters and bending the canon sort of shenanigans. But that was original, and I'm surprised that actually got animated in and of itself. So that was a nice treat. I'm glad they did something new, especially after spending all this time being like, oh no, anime is coming, guys. No, really. And it's like, is it going to be season 2? Or yeah. Oh, season 2 got announced, though. I'm happy.
Yeah, it's really weird because if I recall correctly, they announce something new about the series, and then they announce that it was going to be like a complete reboot. Like, eh, what the fuck? And then now it's announced that apparently both the short series... The short series that's a spinoff, and also the anime are getting both a sequel. So I don't know what's going on. But at least we're getting more. Exactly. I quite enjoyed this. I enjoyed the main series last time, when it aired. And I praised it for actually doing the school rumor thing properly, while the Madoka spinoff did the school rumor thing and completely fucking beat a dead horse while doing it. I am still very mad about Madoka spinoff. It is absolute garbage.
Yeah, the Madoka spinoffs just throw them directly into the garbage.
Yeah, it's based on a mobile game, and it has absolutely zero of the Urobutcher writing style, so it feels like it completely fucking misses the point.
Yeah, I've not seen Hanako-kun, though, so I don't know anything about that series.
It's kind of this weird, like, how do I say it, like, supernatural rom-com? It's about a girl, her name's, Nene, you know, like, Whip Nene,
It's very popular with girls. My, I have a friend, and she has an Anako-kun, stuff on her back.
Oh, yeah, no, I know a lot of, Hanako-kun fans, but anyway, she's kind of into, like, occult stuff, and she hears a rumor about, Hanako-kun, and how if you go into the girl's bathroom and, like, I think knock three times and say, you know, Hanako-kun, are you there? She'll grant a wish. And I think the original, like, in the actual Japanese folklore, it's a girl, but she sees, like, a boy, and, she's, how do I say it, she's, like, a hopeless romantic, right? So, you know, her thing is that she wants to have a boyfriend and have, like, the perfect romance and, like, you know, have a prince, a 6-foot, 6-inch penis, 6-figure salary man to sweep her off her feet to, and have a perfect wedding and all that shit. And, you know, Hanako is kind of like this.
It's in like Japan, little, good luck.
Like this, yeah, he's like this little manly kid. Yeah. And he's like,
okay. I make 600,000 yen a year.
600 yen, oh my god. And, you know, and he's like, okay, here, I can kind of grant your wish. And then it kind of turns awry, and, you know, he's like, okay, here, I'll fix it, but, you know, you have to be my assistant forever. And, you know, she's like, fuck it, sure. And so, like, they have this weird thing where they solve supernatural mysteries, and, like, there's, like, a romance between them and stuff. It's very weird. It's, like, very, like, shoujo-y, but there's also, like, supernatural elements, and the supernatural elements are very, kind of weird. They're not, like, it kind of clashes with the more, like, happy-go-lucky shoujo stuff, because, it's just, because, you know, you want a happy ending, but some of the endings are either, like, very milquetoast or very much like, oh no, yeah, you couldn't get what you wanted. This isn't like the materials. I know the anime, it doesn't adapt a lot of that stuff. It's very like, that was also a big thing. The anime didn't adapt the manga proper. It only got 12 episodes, and like there was like two proper arcs or like a big arc that kind of got swept up. So I'm assuming that'll appear next season, but like you'll see what I mean. Like, you know, as it goes on, you know, you think it's like, oh, this is, they're gonna fall in love, or, you know, they set it up to be like where you think, oh, Hanako's gonna somehow not be dead, and like him and Nene are gonna live happily together. But you know, you're just like, oh wow, this is not gonna happen.
So my anime list says demographic shonen. However, the serialization, the magazine is G fantasy, and this is where things get weird.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of magazine that is.
Yeah, it has stuff like Orimia, Pandora's Heart, Kuroshijutsu, Black Butler. It has a lot of stuff that seems to be that seems like it will attract girls, but at the same time, so it's really, really strange.
Okay. They have Higurashi. So this is edgy stuff for teenage girls.
Yeah, but demographic shonen. So I kind of don't get it.
From what I've heard, like, you know, some of these like magazines and publishers and stuff, it's like they do it more as like a, like they lump their demographic, like the whole company will have like their demographic be shonen as opposed to like specific stories. So that's why something like, you know, like JoJo, which, you know, has blood and stuff, can be rated like a shonen versus something like Tonari no Seki-kun, which is like the most cutesy like slice of life high school thing about like a girl trying to bust this kid sitting next to her that like is always goofing off in class. It's rated as a seinen, you know, despite it.
Yeah, the magazine stuff is kind of weird. So it just kind of end up being published, and that just happens. And yeah, this one is weird because it looks like a lot of stuff that will please more women. But then again, there's a bunch of stuff that seems to be like let's just say Maoka seems to be more of a will be more of a guy thing. So I don't know. It seems like to be like a big weird mix of stuff that perhaps will attract both genres.
Yeah, also, and remember, Go Nagai's violence, Jack, was in Shonen Jump in the 70s, but that it was full of so much gruesome torture and rape that parental groups started sending angry letters, and he had to move it to a different magazine. So stuff like that happens.
Yeah, the 70s was a different time.
Also, Shonen's like the biggest, or I guess like the biggest and best-selling demographic. So you know, it's probably just kind of a you know maximized profit type of deal too.
Yeah, probably. Also, a lot of women also read like the biggest battle Shonen. So
yeah, that shit's popular with everyone.
I mean, you watch and read. Oh wait, I don't know if you read, but you watch like Love Live and Idol stuff.
Love Live is actually probably more made for males. It's difficult, like it's trying to appeal to everyone, but it obviously has a male audience. However, you should probably show me more stuff like Pre-Rhythm, Pre-Parade. Those are actual shoujo that are actually meant for little girls, but obviously, like everything else, it has like an adult audience, because you just know that that there's a lot of adult that watch Breaker, because there is.
Yeah, the 50-year-old men reading these healing manga on the subway just need something to distract them from their shitty lives.
Oh yeah, Manga Time Kirara, I believe, is actually a seinen magazine, I believe, or something like that.
So
and it just like little girls healing shit.
So speaking of reading, I've been reading a new manga. There's a Dr. Stone spinoff. But it really feels like a sequel because it takes place immediately after the end of the series.
You talked about it last week, I think.
Did I?
Yes.
What? Let me check the show notes. It's not in the show notes, so we must have talked about it before the show.
Maybe. You can still talk about it if you wish.
Yeah, no spoilers. This is part sequel and part prequel because there's only one chapter out, but half of it's in the present. Half of it shows Senku as a kid. So I'm not sure where it's going or
it seems to be supplementary material because apparently it's just a future. It's going to be just a few chapters.
Yeah, but I was really surprised when it showed up on my Annie list page. But it's really good. It fleshes out the ending some more. I don't think it's necessary because I like the ending, but it's still good. And of course, the artist Boichi, he's one of the best in the industry. I'll read anything this guy draws.
By the way, Weeble, you should check Dr. Stone. It's awesome.
Yeah, have you seen Dr. Stone?
Not at all.
Oh, I've it's great. That.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's about a teenage scientist with a perfect memory who's stuck in a Stone Age type world 3,000 years into the future, and he has to use his knowledge of high school textbooks and shit to rebuild civilization. But it's still a shonen series. There's a lot of action. There's even a tournament arc.
Sounds all right.
The anime has been great, and it looks like it's actually good. They're actually going to animate it all. So,
oh, you said the manga has ended, right?
Yeah, manga has ended, and the anime continues. And we're reaching the end.
Oh, speaking of endings, y'all probably talked about this, maybe in some other streams, but have you been seeing some of the salt from the Attack on Titan ending?
Yeah, we had a whole episode about it.
Yeah, I was there when the manga ended two years ago.
Yeah,
there was a lot of ass hurt.
I thought that the ending was great. So
yeah, it's a suitable ending. I liked it.
Like, because I think, like, yeah, I remember when the manga that ended and people complained about it, and I just kind of did like a quick speed through because I dropped Attack on Titan. Like, I only ever saw the anime, right? And I think I dropped it, I want to say, sometime around season 3, 4 or something, because the years between it. And I don't know, I feel like those were just kind of some rough points in the story. But either way, I sped through the ending, and I was wondering, like, yeah, what people hated about it, and like, I kind of see why, like, you know, because Eren was kind of cool for a minute, and then he's like, oh, nah, I just wanted that fucking slant pussy, bro. I for real, I did it for the pussy, man. I don't want it. No, and he cries. Nigga's like, no, I don't want her to be bad. I want her to fucking cry for me every day. I don't want her to be fucking to fuck Chad. She has to fuck me. And it's like, nigga, why?
You'll need to put a spoiler warning before that.
I'm sorry. But it's nigga.
I'll put that in the show notes.
No, very based, Weeble. Attack on Titan is gay. That's my final opinion on it.
No, I've seen I've seen so many memes. Like, so much ass hurt, and it's like, holy shit.
The man who was cucked to death.
It's Nigga basically, orchestrated his mom dying, and it was like, and his last words were like, please, I did it. I'm sorry, Mikasa, but I just really wanted that pussy,
I did it for the Mikasa.
Exotic, like, you're the last, sideways you're, vaginas.
You're literally the last cute Asian girl on the planet at this point. I just needed that fucking yellow fever.
That's why he told her he hates her.
You know, no. See, that's a real lesson in Attack on Titan, is that, you know, fucking niggas with yellow fever and libertarians are like scum and should be fucking put down. It's like fucking all these Infernal Rust niggas. Like, this is what you get. Get a head and get your head buried.
Just don't break the NAP and you won't get rumbled.
Alright, so anything else, or is that it for this episode?
Full Metal, you got anything?
Not really, no.
Alright. Let's wrap this shit up. Come to the Fediverse. It's the best thing on the internet.
See you later.
Watch Pluto.
Watch Pluto. Good night.
Don't watch later. Attack on Titan. It's gay. Bye.